Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 81 of the Bunged Up Self-Help Podcast. How are you doing, Sean?
It's the Bunged Up award-winning Self-Help Podcast.
Oh, sorry.
You have to
it's
keep that
full
in.
Full title.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not that bunged up anymore.
I am.
How about you?
I've got this boomerang virus. It just keeps coming back. I keep thinking I've got rid of it, and then I wake up and I've got razor blades in my throat.
Boomerang.
It sounds like an Australian virus.
Boomerang.
Okay, mate. Boomerang virus.
Yeah, I give up on that. Yeah. This is the self-help podcast. We're professionals, aren't we, Sean?
Yeah, I think we're the ones that need the help.
We deal with very serious issues.
We do.
On a weekly basis.
In a very serious way.
As regular listeners will attest.
You can't talk this morning.
I know, I'm struggling a bit, aren't I?
Have you had a tough night?
It was kind of musical beds last night with William coming in and out, coming and going and waking up. And
so where did you end up when the music stopped?
In his bed.
Oh, right, that's
and he was in my spot.
So does that mean you get a good night's sleep?
It's all good fun. Interesting about the whole bed sharing with your children stuff. I mean, obviously for little ones it's not advised because you can roll over onto them. But I've read varying things about whether it's a healthy thing for a family to do. Because it's
when you get to 18, they've got bother boots and hairy chins. That's not a waste of time.
I was thinking, how long have humans not been sharing little communal areas of sleeping? Is it quite an unnatural thing to do for everyone to have their own separate bedroom, do you think?
I can remember there being research reports when I was doing psyche training of places like ghettos where maybe a whole family would be sleeping on a couple of mattresses thrown down on the floor.
Yeah.
And one of the issues then was about sexuality and younger children experiencing sexuality with their parents because they could observe it.
Oh,
and then experimenting with themselves, with the kids. You know, and it was quite a big issue about the fact of what's the normal human state. Is it a normal human state for everybody to be curled up together? Keep them warm.
If you look at kind of primates and that kind of thing, isn't it? They all huddle in together, I'm sure.
Yeah, so everyone cuddles up together.
I don't know, it's just interesting. But basically, if it gets to a certain time of night and Will knocks on the door, it's like, hop in, let's all get some sleep.
Yeah.
You know, for our own sanity.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure at what age. That's a bit like breastfeeding, isn't it? You know, when you meet someone who's still breastfeeding and the child's five, it always seems a bit odd.
Yeah, a bit weird.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not talking about that today.
No,
it's hot topic in the press at the moment.
Yeah.
Anything UKIP do, it's like, oh, hop on that. But we're talking about betrayal this week, aren't we?
Yep.
Listener request. New listeners, head over to liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links to find out who we are and what we do. There'll be a blog post to accompany this show as well, so you can have a little read of that as well.
Yeah.
Sean's a better writer than he is a talker. I don't know.
And I'm such an amazing talker. What an incredible writer.
Good, you must be. You should put a book out. what have you been up to, Sean?
Coughing quite a lot. I've got a half marathon coming up at the end of January, and I am behind with my training schedule here. I haven't run this week yet. And just chest gone, really. So I'm hoping that by next week I'll be back on schedule.
Right.
I've got some work to do to get there, but I'll get there.
You got there, man. You'll be fine. You need to kind of complete one of these little races without breaking down and your body failing on you.
Yeah, with that, yeah. I'll get there.
Yeah.
Hey.
New year and all that.
I'm going to be a hunk.
I've had a good week too, man. I feel like I'm a bit of a Christmas wind down work-wise. People are kind of not that bothered about work being done quite as urgently. My line of work, everyone shuts down over Christmas, really.
Yeah, mine winds up. Because it's the first Christmas without people, it's the loss and all that kind of stuff. So for me, it's busier, 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 busier.
Really? Do you get time off over Christmas?
I've tried to book off from Christmas Eve through to the day after New Year's Day, that kind of thing. Whether I'll manage that or not, I don't know. It depends on what happens.
Yeah.
But I can't fit everything in the diary at the moment.
There'll be no let up on the podcast, by the way, in case anyone's worried. We'll have shows coming out as per. In fact, there will be a show out on Christmas Day. We've just checked the schedule.
And New Year's Eve, there'll be one out.
Yeah, so we will keep them coming, though we will be recording them in advance. for the sake of our wives, we're not going to meet up on Christmas morning.
I think we should. I could go for a run.
Yeah. good week. I also had an interesting experience playing. Actually got time to actually boot up my PlayStation and have a go on Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, is that what it means? GTA 5?
Yeah, it's that infamous series where you get to drive around and steal cars and shoot people innocent and that kind of thing. Right. Like a gangster. I was playing it, and then William came home and he was like, "Oh, what's Daddy doing?" So then I ended up having to play Grand Theft Auto with him watching and try my best to be like good and not run people over and steal cars. So I found it quite...
So he now thinks that Grand Theft Auto is a game for nice boys.
Yeah, yeah. So by the end he was like, "Just take that car, Daddy. Just take that car." No, it's not mine. It's not mine. that's enough of that. We've had another 5-star review on iTunes, which we love. We do encourage people to leave reviews on iTunes if you can spare a few minutes for us. And this one's from Josie in jail, a UK listener. If you are in jail, Josie, obviously you're on the right track because you're listening to this show. Reforming.
No, she's a family worker in the drug rehabilitation service.
A London prison. Interesting. Yeah, I apply learning from the podcast to my work on a regular basis.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
Listening to you two is a joy for me and indirectly benefits the people I work with. That's cool. Thanks from all of us.
That's lovely.
That's cool.
And one of the things I'd say, Josie, is that if you ever feel like you need to email me and kind of talk things through, I'm always around, bounce ideas off.
You can email me too. I might.
You can email Ed.
Yeah. If you're stuck on Grand Theft
Auto. I email him sometimes.
Yeah. I just realised how inappropriate my Grand Theft Auto references were, but hey ho. Because you get out of jail so easily in the game. Hey ho.
Can you?
You can, yeah.
That's not right.
You're out straight away.
Yeah. That's bad learning.
Let's go on to the topics. A listener of ours has asked us to talk about betrayal. So we are, Sean. So should we start by defining what betrayal is? Because there are various levels of betrayal.
You and I have been playing with this idea, haven't we? That we've talked about the idea of trust and can you trust people and you lose the trust of somebody. Mm-hmm. But betrayal seems like a whole size bigger. Betrayal, trust is something that once it's lost, you might not be able to get the trust back with another person. But betrayal seems so much bigger in the sense that betrayal seems to be intentional. Mm. That there's some kind of deliberation in what's going on, which creates a whole level of difference.
Yeah.
And I mean, we can look at different areas of betrayal. But I suppose starting from home, it's like, have you ever felt betrayed? Have you ever felt that you had that experience?
Me?
Yeah.
I keep throwing that one on me. not really.
No.
I mean, I've never been let down in the classic sense of like... as far as I know, kind of like been cheated on or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, no. That's the short answer, but I'll keep thinking while you're talking on.
For me... I suppose the biggest or the first betrayal was finding my first lady in the arms of another, as it were. That was an interesting experience.
Yeah, that can't be much fun.
No. One of the things I think I've learned a lot in life and experiences with people, especially relationship issues, is that betrayal is very much in the eye of the beholder. I suspect, although it doesn't feel like it when you're going through it, but you can't be betrayed without your consent. You have to kind of buy into the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you're buying in through expectation and you're buying in through the nursing of hurt. In the blog, I did say, is hatred a word? Because you get hatred, don't you? But people suffer from hatred. And hatred is a painful place to be. Whereas hatred is a nasty place to be. Hatred hurts.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that sometimes we nurse our hatred. Sometimes we nurse it, we feed it, and it gets bigger. And some people almost wallow in their sense of betrayal.
I was just thinking that. I mean, people do. You can see people get almost addicted to that sense of.
And from justification, you know, they feel. That you know, maybe your partner has done the dirty on you, and maybe they've been doing the dirty on you for a while, and you haven't realised. Maybe they've cleared off and taken the money. Maybe they've cleared off and left you with huge debt or whatever. And people do feel justifiably hurt. But the issue in all of our work about living the present isn't what's happened to you. You know, okay, what's happened to you may be really bad. Okay, what are you going to do next?
Yep.
And that's the bit that's just so important. And if you feel like you own this hurt and you're nursing it to your bosom like a baby, mm-hmm. it is hard to let it go. But going through those processes that we do in the Live in the Present work about being able to free yourself of dragging that concrete weight around.
Yep.
Because it does just wears you out. You
know? Yep.
And the punchline always is that when you're feeling the hurt, the person who hurt you is not feeling your hurt.
They're
somewhere having a good time and you're going through the pain.
Yeah.
So it's, in a way, it's like self-punishment.
Yeah, and in the book, this is all about it's forgiveness, isn't it? And there's practical things you can do in terms of writing letters to people. Yeah. You don't actually have to send them to them. You're just getting your feelings out on pen and paper.
Acknowledgement, but also processing on, getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really important.
Massively.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of some classic examples of betrayal, kind of in the world of fiction or like religion as well. So Judas is the main one, man. What a swine he was, blimey.
Yeah.
Screwing that Jesus over.
Yeah. But in the story, as is, you have someone who portrays themselves as being your best friend, as being your brother, you know, being the person, being your disciple, whatever, who is actively behind your back. In his case, in the Judas story, for money, for financial gain, mm-hmm. Is selling you out.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's it is that kind of emotional letdown, isn't it? When you believe that someone is there for you, and maybe you've confided in them,
mm-hmm.
and you think they're your best mate, and all the time they're feeding that information somewhere else. They're undermining you, or they're using it against you in some way.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can just lose faith in humanity completely, really, couldn't you, if you're not careful?
I think that there's an issue, because one of the things that we said when we were talking about trust, and I said that I actively don't trust people, and I don't see that as a problem, I see that as a reality.
Lend a survivor, Sean, would you?
No. I don't trust you. The issue about can you be betrayed? Yeah. But that isn't the point anymore for me. It's what do you do next?
Yep.
What happens next? And I know people that feel betrayal by someone who's died on them.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
So the circumstance of the death
could be, it's certainly a suicide.
Yeah, would, you deal with a bit of that, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, would lead to feelings of people have been betrayed
mm-hmm.
by the person, especially if they didn't leave a note, especially if it was unknown, that kind of thing. Or even if they did leave a note, but they'd been planning it for a while and people didn't realise it. There's a huge sense of betrayal then.
You got to leave a note, man, flippin' heck. You got to let people know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's a rule book for this one. It's the kind of thing that people do. And what they do is consequential. It has a huge effect on other people. And that is a tough one. Especially this time of year is a tough one, because I'm dealing with lots of people who are feeling loss and hurt. Maybe they're facing the first Christmas without somebody, or maybe it's several Christmases without somebody, but it's a poignant time of year.
Yep.
But also people that are feeling betrayed. You know, Christmas is coming, and their partner is off playing happy families with somebody else, and their family, they now feel abandoned. Maybe they are financially strapped because of that separation that's going on. So that sense of betrayal is big business at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that idea that, okay, we're winding down for Christmas and it just starts roasting on an open fire is a fabulous idea, but for many people it's not like that at all. Christmas is hard.
Guardian article recently, I think it was Guardian, in the last week, about Christmas and how the really high rates of men, it was talking about showing levels of unhappiness and depression, like it spikes a lot over Christmas. And it talked about the pressure to be happy, you know, how you're expected to be happy. Not that men, well, I don't know, are men unhappy generally? Is this but it was getting at the point that we're kind of forced to be happy, and that obviously the financial pressure at Christmas that can come on people, you're like expected to spend this bucket load of cash that you might not necessarily have, but you're not going to tell anyone, you're just going to do it and whack it on your credit card or whatever, that kind of thing. Cool article, but it all backs up this thing about Christmas not necessarily being the happiest time of year
for
everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, and in a way, if I was being pedantic, not that I ever am, I could suggest that what we do in setting ourselves up is we actually betray ourselves. Ooh. You know, that we emotionally, it's like the issue of betrayal being doing something with knowledge. Yeah, and you know you can't afford it. You know you can't afford to do this stuff for Christmas, and yet you betray yourself in doing it, and then you have to face the consequences afterwards.
We got another example of a classic figure of betrayal as the Jimmy Savile type character.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that is that it's not just the Jimmy Savile that people have felt betrayed by, not just the people he abused, but also you know, the family and the people who looked up to him.
Yeah,
but it's almost a sense of betrayal in the whole like system of society, isn't it? And then you get these inquests into hospitals and places that have let down, people feel let down by and betrayed by, and then this lack of trust just kind of seeps through.
Yeah, because then people say, well, who can you trust in society? When Rolf Harris was coming into the spotlight, he had done, and I had people that were actually tearful that were saying, no, not Rolf.
Not you, man.
Yeah, that he was such an important part of their childhood that they felt so betrayed by what was coming out in the press.
Yeah.
You know, huge issue.
Has he been charged? Is he one that's been charged? I can't remember. I don't want to get
I think he has. I think he has, yeah.
Yeah.
But and there's that issue about who else? Who else could come out? Who else could come out and let us down? Who's the next person that's going
to
come along?
But what's your advice to these people that do feel betrayed? I mean, it's everyone, to be honest, so we've all got to move on, you know, whether we like it or not.
I think that in the terms that we're talking about, and certainly from a therapeutic point of view, the feelings of betrayal and the sense of betrayal is a reality check. What you're doing is, it's not like something has happened that wasn't there. It may be unexpected, but what you're doing is you're catching up with reality. You're catching up with what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And if it turns out that the person that you thought was your loving partner actually wasn't, you know, there was a whole load of things. Maybe they had odd sexual behaviours, you know, with dogs or pigs or something, or they are bonking everyone else on the planet or whatever they're doing. Okay, there's that sense of betrayal, and that's the time when you have to take a deep breath and you have to kind of brush yourself down and do the reality check and move on. The people that have the worst lives are the people that get stuck in it, and it's like year on year on year on. And one of the things that bothers me a bit is that when we've got all this stuff coming out about celebrities who were bonking people back along, I know from my own experience in the music industry that there were times when you'd see the star and there were girls, now women, throwing themselves at him. You know, and like now later on, it's easy to say, no, my interactions with this man ruined my life. I'm not sure that they did at the time. Do you know what I mean? And in saying that, I'm not saying that people aren't abused by people. I'm not saying that. But it's quite easy in retrospect to rewrite history to fit in with the needs of the moment. And I think that's something that we have to be very aware of as these things come out, you know.
There's kind of lower, there's different examples of betrayal. We've got lower levels, which people may not think of betrayal, but are in terms of like just gossiping, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that gossip is classic because in a social setting, which could be a collective in an office situation or work factory, whatever, that you work with this bunch of people and you make an assumption that you have a level of familiarity, a level of understanding, a level of confidentiality that's going on as you start kind of gabbing and talking about your life. And if one of the people in there has that kind of negative personality that is either storing up what you've said to pay it back to you later negatively, or they're giving it to other people. And you may think that you've said something to somebody in confidence, and it turns out that it hasn't been that at all.
Yeah.
And that can be a sense of betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But again, betrayal is very much in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, indeed. And then we've got the massive kind of international, international-wide issues like Bradley Manning and that kind of thing, where he's judged to have betrayed his entire country, you know.
Yep.
But then obviously there's a group of people that think, you know, he's fighting for freedom and all that. But oh no, he's Chelsea Manning now, isn't he? Is he the one that's officially female now?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's cool. But yeah. This is just kind of bad news sells as well, doesn't it? So
yeah, think about all the, you know, you and I become amazingly famous, and we're on the front page of all the magazines.
I visualize it every night,
and then suddenly people from our past come out of the woodwork and go, "Oh, I can remember when," and they sell their story.
For you, more so, definitely. Yeah,
I don't know.
You must be worried.
I can't sleep at night. But that whole sentence of how safe or secure are any of us in our information. We were at a network breakfast meeting this morning, and Al, who is our favourite private cop kind of guy, who finds things, one of the things he was talking about is how your information can be garnered and used, isn't it? And that's where our information is out there in society, our financial information, it's our medical records, all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
That other people that have a betrayal kind of spy type head on can go in and they can get it.
Take advantage of.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I suppose one of the other bits of betrayal that I think is a classic when we were talking about it earlier on is that it's the seduction thing. And we see seduction as... it's usually a man, but not always, who seduces a woman, has his wicked way with her, and then abandons her, forsakes her. And there's lots of classic stories about that, you know, Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility, all those kinds of stories, those kinds of themes, and there's the wicked man in. For me, when you go into a car showroom and you're just looking at cars, the salesman comes up and attempts, often successfully, to seduce you. Because what they do is they seduce you with all their slimy talk and their smart words into buying this car. You know, so what they've done is that they've seduced you into doing what they want you to do for them.
If there are any car salesmen listening, there are some good eggs, I'm sure.
Well, no, I've got a punchline on that.
But like that guy from the Fast Show.
The thing is that if you go into the garage, a couple of weeks later, you know, you go in the showroom, and the guy doesn't want to know you. You know, he's had his wicked way with you. He can't get anything else out of you, so you can stuff off. He might be, okay,
fine. What about the guy that sold you the pink noodle?
And he did that over the phone. That
was, he saw you coming.
I was seduced over the phone, yeah.
You're going to flog this last pink car, it's the last thing I know.
He told me it was pale oak was the colour. I was well seduced. So, I mean, in that sense, I mean, the to be seduced, so for someone to get what they want out of you and then for them to abandon you is quite common. Mm-hmm. It's going on all the time.
Yeah.
Isn't it? You know, the salesman is a seducer and a betrayer of trade. That's what they do.
Yeah, I guess so, man. I mean, like we're both self-employed, so we're selling our way.
We're seducing
all the time,
people all the time.
Yeah, come to me for a nice website, lad.
Yeah. And then you don't want to know them after that. Most of the website's got nothing to do with me.
I didn't make it. I didn't break it. Yeah. No, not like that at all.
Not at all.
But all these different levels of betrayal come back to the one thing, in terms of the person that's been betrayed, they need to learn to forgive.
Yeah. If you hold on to any sense of betrayal by anybody at any time in life, all you will do is damage yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You won't damage the other person, and your own life will become progressively more difficult.
Yeah. So is that about developing a thick skin, or is it just letting it wash over you? Like,
No. I think thick skins don't work for me, because I think that you do have to register emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do have to understand what it is you're letting go of, not just it bouncing off so you don't even realise it.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got rhino hide, you might not even realise that someone's slagging you off. Yeah, whereas if you realise that they're slagging you off, but you can let it go, that's a much bigger skill to have.
Thin skin with like an oily sheen to it is what you need.
And a good recovery rate, you know, so that as these things happen. Because it's that thing for me about cardiovascular health is if you take your heart rate to the top end, how quickly does it come back to normal? That's your health, isn't it? But it's the same emotionally. If your emotions spike, how quickly can you bring them back to normal?
Yeah.
That's emotional health.
And there are practical things such as meditation, which I'm sure will help, that kind of thing.
Yeah, 7-Eleven breathing, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've been through them in different blogs and different podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's all in there in the archive. But you can take control of your feelings in the same way you can take control of your thoughts or your actions.
Yeah.
You just have to understand that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody is the victim of other people's situations, other people's actions, other people's emotional states. It's how we're responding to what is going on. And that's the personal responsibility bit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Which is pretty cool.
Anything else you'd like to mention, Sean?
I suppose one of the last things that you popped on a list here that I'm looking at is the idea of prenup.
Prenup.
And prenuptial agreements are interesting for me because some people would say, well, no, prenup is realistic. It's what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
For me, if your head is full of the idea that you need a prenup, I would be questioning whether you should be in the relationship at all.
Yeah.
Because you're actually setting up the idea that you're going to be betrayed, you're going to be let down, this person's going to be a pain in the ass.
Alarm bells should be ringing, really.
So let's build it in before that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah? Which means to me that you probably shouldn't be in the relationship at all if you want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good with that. I've got a resource, which is a good resource, and it's a website, which is Recovery Stories. And this one, which the link goes to, is about dealing with betrayal and abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But on that site, if you go through to the site, there are lots of recovery stories, and lots of those stories have a basis of betrayal in them.
Okay.
And they're stories about how people have overcome things that they've had to face, which is good.
recoverystories.info.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Nice one. I have found a website also.
Yeah.
Which I've been aware of for a while, actually, but it's got loads of cool articles. And in fact, you can submit your own, so I think we need to get on there some of your articles on there. But it's called Tiny Buddha.
TinyBuddha.com.
Loads of different, still categorised beautifully and kind of change and challenges, happiness and fun, healthy habits, letting go, love and relationships. There's loads of cool articles on there from loads of different writers. Good social media presence too. So tinybuddha.com, have a look at that.
Yeah.
And we need to action to get some stuff on there because
I think
we could get some good traction on there.
Oh, we'll do that.
Yeah. That's a job for Ree. Ree, if you're listening.
Okay. Hi, Ree.
Get in touch. Job for Ree. Okay, cool.
All right.
That's a nice, tidy little episode, I think. Next week is Christmas Day. Next Thursday is launch. The launch day is Christmas Day.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
So we're going to talk about Christmas, aren't we?
Yep.
I'm not sure in what context yet. Is it a happy time for you, Sean? You like Christmas?
Christmas for me is a very happy time. And Christmases have got better for me over the years.
You're supposed to be happy, or is it actually?
No, it's actually a happy time.
Has it always been?
No, it was horrible when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But it's a good time. I enjoy Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like it too, man.
Yeah.
I usually get a bit sleepy by about 2, 3 o'clock.
No, we're just starting to eat by then. It's doing all the cooking.
We'll talk about that. I'm looking forward to it. It's cool. Good time, especially now when little Will's starting to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
He's asking one too many questions about Father Christmas, though, for my liking.
Yeah.
He's getting onto it. He's already, not even 3, and he's already onto me. Yeah. How's he get down that chimney, Dad? we'll talk about that. Head over to the website, livingthepresent.co.uk, for all the links to bits and bobs we've talked about. Get yourself some free bits and bobs too. You put your email address in the box. There's some meditation files there that, if you're not into meditation yet, a good starting place. Some free meditation files.
Yeah.
Get in touch via social media. Leave us a review on iTunes too.
Yeah, and thank you for that review this week from Josie.
Josie in jail.
Jesse, I love that. It's a good title.
Keep up the good work, Jesse. We appreciate that. Beautiful. Yeah. Signing off, Sean. Take it easy.
Yeah, you take care.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.